today on Revival Radio with Pastor John Miller.
All of these world rulers are going to be rolled into this one man, this man who Satan gives him his power and his seat and his authority. But his reign is going to be short-lived. Jesus said, unless those days be shortened, thou shalt no flesh be saved. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 24, the Olivet Discourse, he actually said that there's going to come in the last days false Christs and false messiahs and false prophets and shall deceive many. So we need to make sure that we are careful.
One day in the future, there will be a man who will lead in the world and pull many away from God. He'll be full of charisma and come with messages of peace and tolerance. But as Pastor John explains today, he'll instead be a great man of deceit. People will believe him to be the Messiah, yet he will be the very agent of Satan, sent to lead people astray. Pastor John will encourage you today to know God's truth deeply. Be alert and aware of this Antichrist to come. Don't be deceived by lies that go against the Word of God. Now let's join Pastor John in the book of Daniel, chapter 7, as he begins his message, Thy Kingdom Come.
The fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon the earth, which shall be diverse from all the kingdoms, and shall devour the whole earth, and shall tread it down, and shall break it in pieces. The Roman Empire. The Roman Empire, and then it morphs in the last days into these 10 horns, verse 24. And the 10 horns out of this kingdom are 10 kings that shall arise, and yet another shall arise after them. So 10 horns, and then an 11th horn, this other horn comes up. And he shall be diverse from the first, and he shall subdue three kings. Now, horns in the Bible speak of power and authority. For an animal, a horn was its power. And so the horn is representative of someone with great power and great authority. And so it says in describing this other horn, verse 25, that he shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints, which means he's going to persecute the saints of the Most High. And he'll think to change times and laws, which indicates that he's attacking the Jewish people primarily, and he's trying to change their holy days and their laws. And they shall be given unto the hand until a time and times and the dividing of time. But the judgment shall sit, and they shall take away his dominion to consume and to destroy it unto the end. And the kingdom and the dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heavens shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominion shall serve and obey him. Praise God. Hitherto is the end of the matter. As for me, Daniel, my thoughts much troubled me, and my countenance changed in me, but I kept the matter in my heart. And we do well to keep the matter in our hearts. Now, let's go back, and if you're taking notes, get ready for some cross-referencing, and we're going to turn to some other places in the New Testament to fill in these gaps. And go back, in verse 23, the fourth beast, which was Rome, out of that fourth beast comes, verse 24, 10 horns. Out of this kingdoms are 10 kings which shall arise, and then the other shall arise after them, and shall be diverse from the first, and he shall subdue three kings. This very, very, very simply stated in Nebuchadnezzar's image of the statue is the toes of iron and clay, which speaks of an inferior revived Roman Empire, thus the clay, and that the 10 toes coincide with the 10 horns. And out of those 10 horns comes another little horn. This is a reference, and it's a whole massive study all on its own, of this individual that is commonly referred to as the Antichrist. The Antichrist. He's going to be given different names and different titles as you go through the book of Daniel and as you find him in the New Testament. We'll get some of those. But the Antichrist is going to be the last world ruler of man. So you have Babylon with Nebuchadnezzar, Belshazzar. You have the Medo-Persian Empire with Darius, the Mede. You have the Grecian Empire, Alexander the Great, and then there's four generals that took over after he died. And then you have the Roman Empire. And in the Roman Empire, you have the Caesars. And we think of Caesar Nero, who began the persecutions of the Christians. In some ways, he prefigured the Antichrist in his hatred for Christians and his attacking Christians. So you have the Caesars, which claimed to be God, wanted to be worshipped. If you were a Christian living in Rome, you would be required to take some incense, throw it on an altar, and to say, Caesar is Lord. Christians wouldn't do that. And because they wouldn't do that, they were thrown to the lions and they were persecuted. So out of this fourth kingdom, this Roman Empire, in the last days, it's going to be revived. It's said that the nursery rhyme Humpty Dumpty was actually written about man's futile attempts to try to revive the Roman Empire. But it actually will be revived, but it'll be revived by God. And it'll be a coalition of 10 nations, out of which will come, many feel, somewhere in Europe, this leader that will actually take over the world. Now, what we see in the world being unified today, and we see this one world kind of setup being structured today, with the unification of the world and globalism and the World Wide Web and the high speed of travel, the world has been shrunk down from the ancient world. You know, people right now are perhaps watching Revival Christian Fellowship live on the internet and other parts of the United States and other parts of the world. I get letters from my friends in Australia that join us on Wednesday night and other places around the world that log in live and watch what's going on. So the world has been shrunk down, and you can watch live webcasts of things going on all around the world. It used to be that people would read these prophecies and, you know, wonder how could the world become one and how could there be another one world government. And we see that there's a move and there's a push today for the unifying of the world. And some actually believe that if we don't, you know, eliminate all the nations of the world and just become one, that we're not going to be able to survive on planet Earth. So the stage is being set for another world-ruling empire. Now, write this down. Revelation chapter 6, you have the four horsemen, and then you have this horseman that comes on a white horse. This white horse rider who has a bow in his hand but no arrows is not Jesus Christ, but he's the Antichrist. Now, when we use the term Antichrist, it's used different ways in the Bible. It's used for the individual we know as this man of sin, the son of perdition, this mouth speaking great things, the little horn, so forth. It's known as an individual who will be against Christ and come in the place of Christ. He's a pseudo Christ. People are going to believe that when he comes on the scene, he's coming yet future, people are actually going to believe that he is the Savior of the world. Even the Jewish people initially will believe that he's their Messiah and that he's the Savior. Many believe that he will actually negotiate a peace treaty with the nation of Israel and the Arab neighbors that they have and reconcile them and bring peace to the Middle East. I laugh at all man's futile attempts to try to work out the Palestinian problem and the Jewish-Arab problem. But the Antichrist is going to resolve that problem, and everyone's going to hail him as a wonder worker, a miracle worker. He's going to come with peace. He's going to come on a white horse, has a bow, but he doesn't have any arrows. And people are going to recognize him as being this great leader. when Adolf Hitler came on the scene, everyone thought he was wonderful, at least in Germany, and even in the West they thought he was okay. And he gave these great speeches, and he mesmerized the crowds, and he led the nation, and then his true colors were manifested. And again, in a way, he kind of prefigures this Antichrist. But all of these world rulers are going to be rolled into this one man, this man who Satan gives him his power and his seat and his authority. But his reign is going to be short-lived. Jesus said, unless those days be shortened, thus shall no flesh be saved. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 24, the Olivet Discourse, he actually said that there's going to come in the last days false Christ and false messiahs and false prophets and shall deceive many. So we need to make sure that we are careful. But I believe the church will be caught up before this Antichrist is revealed. I'm going to show you that in just a moment. But the first reference I wanted to give you is Revelation chapter 6, the white horse rider, that he comes on the scene and that he comes in peace. And then in Revelation chapter 13, which we read last week, I want you to hold your place here in Daniel and turn there with me again as we looked at it last week. Revelation chapter 13. John said, I stood upon the sand of the sea and I saw a beast rise out of the sea. This is the same individual, this man of sin, having seven heads and ten horns, and upon his horns ten crowns, and upon his heads the names of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like a leopard. There it is. His feet were as the feet of a bear. His mouth was the mouth of a lion. And the dragon, which is a reference to Satan, gave unto him his power, his seat, and his great authority. Now, this is where one of the places in the book of Revelation where you have a great description about this man, this little horn that Daniel describes in the last days that's going to come on the scene. And he says in verse 3, I saw one of his heads as it was wounded to death. His deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. Some feel that there'll be an assassination attempt, and he'll survive it, and everyone will believe that he's miraculously recovered and follow after him. There'll be wonder, then there'll be worship. They worship the dragon, which gave power to the beast, and they worship the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast and who is able to make war with him? Then in verse 5, we looked at it last week, there was given to him a mouth speaking great things. We read that in Daniel chapter 7, verse 8. Mouth speaking great things, blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue. Now I want you to notice this reference here. 42 months. That is 3.5 years. We just read about it in Daniel. It was called a time, times, and half a time. And we're going to go back there in just a moment and I'll point it out to you. But a time, times, and a half a time is 1, 2.5, a half year. So 3.5 years. When Nebuchadnezzar went insane, he went insane until 7 times passed over him. It was the 7 years of insanity. So this times is a reference to 1 year. So it coincides with this 42 months here, and it's the same as the 3.5 years, 42 months or 1,260 days. We'll see in just a moment. And he opened his mouth and he blasphemed against God, verse 6, and blasphemed his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given unto him over all kindreds, tongues, and nations. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb, foundation of the world, slain from the foundation of the world. Now, we stopped here last week. I want to keep reading verse 9. If any man have an ear, let him hear. He that leads into captivity shall go into captivity. He that kills with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. Verse 11, and I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had 2 horns like a lamb, and he spake like a dragon. Now, we didn't get this last week. This other beast is known as the false prophet. So don't get confused. You have the Antichrist, who's also a horn, but then you have another horn raised up. He is the false prophet. He is the religious sidekick that works together with this Antichrist. And he exercised all the power of the first beast, which is the Antichrist, before him, And he causes the earth and them that dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. And he does great wonders so that he makes fire to come down from heaven upon the earth in the sight of the men. He deceives them that dwell upon the earth by means of those miracles which he had the power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image of the beast, that is the Antichrist, which had a wound by the sword and did live. He had power to give life unto the image of the beast, the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And he causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or their foreheads, that no man might buy or sell, save he that has the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that understands count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666, or 666. Now again, all this happens after the rapture when the Antichrist is revealed. But this is a graphic description coinciding with what Daniel gave us there in the Old Testament, book of Daniel. Turn with me again now in the New Testament to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Rather than me just relate these to you, I wanted you to see them. These are the classic passages on the Antichrist. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him, that you be not soon shaken in mind or troubled, neither by spirit nor by word nor by letter as from us, thinking that the day of Christ is in hand, or literally the day of the Lord is in hand. Paul's writing to the believers in Thessalonica and he's saying, don't be freaking out thinking that you're in the tribulation. He says, don't worry, think that the day of the Lord has come. Because he tells them these certain things have to happen before the day of the Lord can develop. Verse 3, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day, what day? The day of the Lord. It's called the day of Christ in verse 2, but in the Greek it actually is the day of the Lord. Then in verse 3 it says, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come first a falling away. Then here he is, the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Doesn't call him the Antichrist, doesn't call him the little horn, doesn't call him Mr. Big Mouth, calls him the son of perdition. Notice what he's going to do in verse 4. He'll oppose and exalt himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he is God, sitting in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember you not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? And now you know that something is holding him back. I'm paraphrasing this, but this is what Paul is saying. Something is hindering him, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he who hinders will hinder until he be taken out of the way. And when the hindering force is taken out of the way, verse 8, then shall that wicked be revealed, referring to the Antichrist, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Happens in Revelation 19:19. Even him, and it's referring to this Antichrist, whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, with all deceivableness of unrighteousness, and them that perish because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. So for this cause, God sends them, or God allows them, they experience strong delusions, that they should believe the lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Now, I know I'm kind of dumping a lot on you right now. And you're going, all you're doing is reading a bunch of stuff and you don't say anything. But I wanted you to see all these verses and try to put the pieces of the puzzle together. Now, I'm going to turn back to Revelation 19 in just a minute, but go back to Daniel chapter 7. So the Antichrist comes on the scene, riding a white horse, makes a covenant with Israel for 7 years. In the middle of the 7 years of tribulation, which would be what? 3.5 years. He commits what is known as, we'll get it in Daniel 9, the abomination of desolation. Which is basically he erects an image of himself in the rebuilt temple of Jerusalem and commands everyone to worship him. That's what it says in Revelation 13. That's what it says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, that he claims to be God. He speaks against God, but he commands everyone to worship him. No one can buy and sell unless they have a mark on their right hand or on their forehead. It's the number of a man, 666. We have now the setup and the system to where we can put a chip under the skin and you can conveniently just scan your hand or scan your forehead or whatever it might be, and all your information is stored in that chip and all of your funds are electronically withdrawn. I mean, very few people carry cash anymore around. I mean, we're just about to a cashless society. And this is what this Antichrist is going to institute. No one can buy or sell without this mark on their right hand or their forehead. So going back to Daniel chapter 7, we see that these 10 kings, he eliminates 3, he comes to power. In verse 25, he speaks great words against the Most High, and he wears out the saints. These are tribulation saints, the Jews and Gentile believers in Jesus. And he tries to change their times and their laws, and they were given until his hand, until a, here it is, a time and times and the dividing of time. This is 1, 2.5 years, 3.5 years. This is referenced in Revelation 13, 5, we just read 24 months. It's also referred to in Revelation 12, verse 14, as a time, times, and a half a time. It's also referred to in Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 7, as the time of Jacob's trouble, which is the seven-year period of tribulation, the last 3.5 being that time of Jacob's trouble, the time of great tribulation. That this period of time is covered by Jesus in Matthew 24 and 5 in the Olivet Discourse, and in Revelation chapter 6 through 19, it's the great tribulation period. I believe the church is raptured or caught up and no longer on planet Earth, no longer here. That we will be caught up to meet the Lord in the air, and that we'll be in heaven, that we are what we read about just a moment ago, the Holy Spirit working through the church is that which is holding back or restraining the revelation, the disclosure of the Antichrist. Now, all the way back to Caesar Nero, all the way up to modern times, I mean, the present president, Donald Trump, Barack Obama, Richard Nixon, Ronald Reagan, people have believed that they were this Antichrist. People thought that Adolf Hitler was the Antichrist. People often want to know, is he alive today? Is he living in the world?
You learned today from Pastor John that someday there will come a great world leader that will seek to lead the people away from God. And many people will be mesmerized by him, worship him instead of God, and be completely deceived. Pastor John encouraged you to know God's truth and his word so that you will not be deceived and are able to stand firm in your faith until Jesus returns. We'll tell you what's coming up next time in just a moment, but this month we have a fantastic series that Pastor John is going to share about.
This series is Life Worth Living, based on the book of Ecclesiastes, is an excellent tool to share with someone that's struggling, wondering what is life all about. I preached this series because I wanted to use it evangelistically to share the gospel that life is more than things, and all the pursuits that Solomon went through, he could find no happiness, no fulfillment. He ended up saying all life is empty and void. So if you feel that this series could be a blessing to you or someone you know, visit us online at revival.tv to pick up a copy for yourself.
Pastor John will continue his explanation of Daniel's dreams and vision that God had given him. These prophecies, though they can be confusing to understand, one thing is clear. God's prophecies and promises are certain and will happen. World kingdoms are strong, but they are no match for God's great might. Only God knows what the future holds and is in complete control. There's no need to despair. Thanks for joining Pastor John today, and we hope you'll tune in again, right here on Revival Radio.